Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
It's been said, if you have a little God, then you have big problems. But if you have a big God, then you have little problems. Friend, I don't know what problems you have today, but I know if you belong to God, He's a very big God. Today we're going to understand more about Him on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell. Perhaps you come to today's program with problems you cannot solve. What circumstances and questions are beyond your control in your life right now? Well, friend, we hope today that a fresh glimpse of God, the nature, the power, the greatness, the goodness of God, will help you see your problems and life's challenges in light of His nature. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program comes to you with Dr. Paul Chappell, the teacher, preacher, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. It's a joy every Monday through Friday to meet with you through this program. And today we're studying and understanding God, a great series of messages that really inspects from God's Word what He says about Himself. And it's our prayer that as you look at the fresh glimpse of Scripture and what God says about Himself, your problems will become smaller in light of His goodness, His power, and His greatness. We're going to wrap up our series by studying the wonderful and amazing grace of God. If you've missed any part of this series, Understanding God, I invite you to dailyintheword.org. You can hear all of the recent messages and encourage your heart in the greatness of God. But today, let's turn our hearts to God's grace. Here's Paul Chappell.
They said, what has happened to you? Why are you so different? Why all of this change? By the way, wouldn't that be great if someone asked that of you this week? And they said, what is going on in your life? Why do you serve God like you do? And that old American Indian took a pile of leaves and he brought them together on the ground, and then he went over to the grass and he found a large worm. And he placed that worm in the middle of the pile of leaves, and then he took some fire from the fire and he lit a fire all the way around that pile of leaves. And those leaves began to burn, and they began to come closer and closer until they were almost to consume that worm. And right before they did, that American Indian gentleman reached down and picked up that worm and held it before the inquirers and said, me, that worm. Me, that worm. If you really understand what salvation is, you see and understand that in God's sight and on His economy, we were worms, lost and helpless, but by His grace, He saves us. And to those that would turn to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith believing, He saves us by His grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of your works, lest any man should boast. Friend, you can get baptized in every church in Lancaster until your fingers begin to shrivel from all of the water. But that in itself is not going to save you. It is not by works that we are saved. It is by the grace of God, unmerited favor shown towards us. We are pardoned from our sin by the grace of God. Secondly, we are prepared for service by the grace of God. This grace that pardons us also prepares us to serve God. Now back in Ephesians chapter 2, we come down to verse number 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18 that we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Many people understand salvation by grace, but they are not growing in grace. They are not serving God by grace. And it is God's grace that prepares our hearts to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, God does not pardon us so that we can serve ourselves. He does not let us out of that prison of eternal damnation. He does not give us forgiveness. He does not give us the liberty of the Christian life so that we can do whatever we want to do. But we are now free to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We are His workmanship. God has a plan for our lives once we're saved. His desire is that we would serve Him. In fact, back in Titus chapter 3 and verse 8, it says that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. In other words, I'm saved by grace, but now I can serve God by that same grace. That inner working that starts the moment we receive Christ is to continually cause us to serve Him until the day He calls us home. Galatians 5 and verse 13 says, "Use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." And so God says, "I save you by my grace, but now I would call you to serve me by that same grace." Dr. Harry Ironside, the pastor of the Moody Church for many years, often would tell the story about a lady who conspired to kill the first queen of England. In fact, she found herself a place in the closet of the queen, and she waited there until the time would come that she could murder the queen. Well, some of the servants of the queen found this particular lady and they brought her to the queen and made her kneel down before the queen. And as the queen viewed her, the queen said, "If I show grace to you, what promise will you give to me?" The woman looked up at the queen and said to her, "Grace that hath conditions is no grace at all." The queen was taken back a bit. She thought about that for a moment and she said, "You are right. I pardon you by my grace." The queen, in pardoning this lady, let her go unconditionally. And history records that this lady became the most ardent, loving, lifelong servant that the queen ever knew. And if you understand what God did for you when He saved you, you're not going to need a twist around the back of your arm to get you to serve God. You are going to serve Him fervently because of His work of grace in your heart. The grace of God pardons us from sin. The grace of God compels us to service. It is all because of His amazing grace that we are even here this morning. The grace of God pardons. Secondly, the grace of God purifies. The grace of God purifies the life of a believer. Now notice, first of all, as we consider the purification of God's grace, that God's grace will purify our motives. God's grace will purify the motives of our hearts. As we grow in grace, our hearts will become more like the will of God and will act out the will of God through our life. Romans 5 and verse 21 states it this way, "That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." And then Romans 6, 1 asks this question, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Some people say, "Well, you Baptists, you say that if you're saved by grace, that it's undeserved favor, and you make it sound like you could just go out and sin all of you want." Well, I don't suggest that we test those theological limits today. I don't believe that someone that is truly saved is going to sin all they want. But the Bible says, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? And the Bible says, God forbid. God forbid. You see, the grace of God saves us, but it also purifies our motives. It is not a license to sin, but it is a purification factor from within our heart. And a real understanding of grace will free us from a life of sinful death and will liberate us to a life of service for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Romans chapter 6 and verse 7 says, "He that is spiritually dead is freed from sin." And by the grace of God, your old man and mine were nailed to the cross of Calvary, and as we recognize the victory of that cross, we can walk in liberty and in freedom to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. When God in grace deals with a man, He produces His truth in a man. When God saves you by His grace, when God by His grace is growing you into the image of Christ, You will not live a life that denies the truth. You will live a life that reflects the truth. And so grace brings us along that journey of Christ-likeness. God's grace purifies the motives of our hearts. Secondly, God's grace purifies our ministry. The lives that we live in this flesh can only be drawn to the image of Christ as we are growing in the grace of God. I would invite you to turn back to Titus for a moment, chapter 2. And as we look at this corollary passage this morning, let us notice once again what the Bible says about God's grace in this passage. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 11. Here we see the ministry of the Christian, the life of the believer. Titus 2:11 says this, "For the grace of God, which bringeth salvation, hath appeared to all men, teaching us." All right, watch this. What does grace teach us to do? What does this grace that changes your life's eternal destiny do for you while you're still living this life here on this earth? Is it just a theological term? Is it just a way to get fire insurance to keep us out of hell and take us to heaven? Or can grace make a difference tomorrow at work? What does grace teach us about the ministry of this life that we're living? The Bible says in Titus 2:11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." God's grace teaches us to deny ungodliness and to live a godly life. And those who would take the doctrine of the grace of God to some sinful advantage and who would take it to a form that is against the moral law of God, those who would abuse the doctrine of God's grace are only fooling themselves, because the wages of sin is always death and destruction. God's grace is not a license to do whatever we want to do. God's grace will teach us to live the way God wants us to live. And so we're not only saved by grace, but we are purified by grace. We are energized by the grace of God to serve Him each and every day. Yes, God's grace will pardon us from our sin, but God's grace will propel us into a life of service for Christ that is pleasing unto God, not because of our good works, but because of God's grace working through us. God's grace pardons. God's grace purifies. And I want you to see this last point. God's grace preserves. God's grace preserves people's lives during difficulty and trial. And I want you to see this from the life of the Apostle Paul. Because God's grace created within him a peaceful inner disposition. God's grace gave him a disposition that allowed him to go on when the times were tough. You see, the grace of God for the believer is an inward disposition created by the Holy Spirit of God. When you would quit, you don't quit because the Holy Spirit preserves you. When you would stay discouraged, there's encouragement that fills your soul because of the grace and the presence of God. We are preserved then, first of all, through the pain of this life. We are preserved through the pain of this life. Don't raise your hands this morning, but I would only imagine that many in this room are experiencing some disappointment, some heartache, or some pain right now in your own heart. And God wants to preserve you by His grace through that time. The Apostle Paul had a time like that in his life. He had a time where there was a physical infirmity that came over his body. It was very troublesome and very painful for him. And in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7, he says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." By the way, sometimes God brings hurtful situations and trials into our lives to humble us and get us on our knees. Paul says, "Lest I should be exalted above measure, a thorn in the flesh was given to me." But when this painful situation, some think it was an eye disease, others do not know exactly, they speculate. But whatever it was, when this began to bother him, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness." Three times the apostle. Why, if anyone should have had an answer to prayer, it would have been the apostle. If anyone should have had a direct connection, we would have thought it was an apostle. If anyone could have gotten healing, it would have been the apostle. And for those who think that prayer is telling God what to do, many times they fail to understand His sovereign plan. In this case, His plan was not to heal the apostle Paul. By the way, he was still answering the prayer according to His will. Three times Paul said, Lord, I've got a problem. I need your healing. But God's answer to him was found in these words, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Please remember this morning, God is not attracted to our strengths. He's attracted to our weaknesses. God's grace is attracted to the times in our lives when we are weak. He could have healed the Apostle Paul, but instead he said, I'm going to give you the grace you need to get through this time. I'm going to give you the inner strength that you need to endure this time. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great preacher in London years ago, wrote these words. He said, I am afraid that all of the grace that I have gotten out of my comfortable and easy times could lie on a penny. He said, everything he learned about grace through the good times, he could put right on a penny. But the good that I have received through my sorrows and pains cannot be measured. Affliction is the best book in my library. I say to you this morning with a heart that has pain, learn what God wants to teach you. Receive the inner strength of His Holy Spirit and let His grace preserve you through this time. Don't throw in the towel through this time, but let God's grace take you through this time. As Peter said in 1 Peter 5:10, for the God of all grace, after that you have suffered a little while, will make you perfect, and He will establish you, and He will strengthen you. You know what the God of all grace is concerned about when we have heartaches and trials? He's concerned about strengthening us and helping us and getting us through. And don't let the devil tell you that God does not care. His grace is sufficient for you. The grace of God preserves us through pain. By the way, the grace of God preserves us by prayer. You see, I don't have that grace preserving me right now. I don't have the peace that you're talking about. I don't have that innermost peace you're speaking of. Well, let me encourage you, friend, to ask for it. It's there for the believer to receive. The Bible says in Hebrews 4 and verse 16, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. No matter what the need is, God has grace to match and superabundantly more than you need. His grace is sufficient for you. Perhaps there's a burden in your heart today. Let me encourage you to seek God's grace and let Him fill that need with His grace. Now, the truth is today that everyone in this room needs the grace of God. Every person here needs the grace of God. And because grace flows downward, it's available for everyone in this room. Because God in His majesty and with His superabundance of grace makes it available to everyone all of the time. Some of you this morning need to receive God's grace to pardon you from your sins. The fact is, this morning, there are some in this room that if you were to die today, you are not sure that you would be with the Lord in heaven. You've never received His grace, which forgives you from sin. You've never come to that place where you trusted only in Christ. Or perhaps you've been involved in some religion that has confused you and told you that Jesus is good, but you have to do several other things in order to know that you're saved. Listen, friend, Jesus is enough. His grace is sufficient. All you must do is receive Christ today by faith. Turn to Him. The Philippian jailer said, what must I do to be saved? And the apostle said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Some today need to look to the Lord and believe and be pardoned from sin. Others today need God's grace to purify your life. You've been saved by grace, but you're living according to the flesh. You are not walking according to the grace of God. You are not growing in the grace of God. You are not finding yourself living that crucified life that Paul spoke about in Romans. And today I would challenge you as a Christian that you would grow in grace, that you would allow God to purify your life, that you would not turn the grace of God into lasciviousness as some did in the early church or wicked living, but that you would find yourself walking in God's grace today. God's grace pardons every sinner. God's grace can purify and strengthen every Christian. And God's grace, then thirdly, can preserve every Christian. And for some this morning going through the valley of difficulty, God says, My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And God wants to strengthen you and grow you. God must have something special for you. God wants to strengthen you today for the great victory He'll bring tomorrow in your life. Whatever God's grace can do for you, let Him do it today for you and through you, that you might bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You this morning for the attribute of Your grace. Grace that pardons, grace that purifies, and grace that preserves.
Well, friend, you've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Pastor Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California, and president of West Coast Baptist College. I do invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. That's dailyintheword.org. You can hear today's message in its entirety. You can also hear all of the messages from this great, powerful series, Understanding God. You can download them and even subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can find that and many other resources at dailyintheword.org. Now, to wrap up today's program, here's Paul Chappell.
Friend, do you know that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? I'm not asking, are you a member of a church or were you raised up in church? But do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? The Bible says, as many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. You see, God intends a relationship to be established with you that is found through His Son, Jesus Christ. It's simply stated in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." My friend, God is not willing that any would perish, but that everyone would come to repentance. And perhaps today, God's Holy Spirit is touching your heart, and you need to change your mind. And He's showing you that you cannot save yourself, because all of us are sinners, but that Jesus Christ shed His blood to cover your sin in order that you might be saved. Well, my friend, if you're beginning to understand the truth of Christ's atonement for you, and if you believe that Jesus Christ as God's Son shed His blood for your sin, then I encourage you right now to just stop from your normal pace of the day and simply say something like this: "Dear Lord, I believe that You are the Son of God. And Jesus, I pray now and ask You to come into my heart by faith. I believe that Your blood was shed for my sin. I ask You to wash my sins away and one day take me to heaven to be with You for all of eternity." Now, my friend, if you by faith will call on the Lord and believe in Him only, not in a church, not in a preacher, but in Jesus Christ, the resurrected Son of God, the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And if you have made that prayer today and you meant it, and you have asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your Savior, let me encourage you to visit our website, dailyintheword.org, and just click the little tab that says Contact Us. Let me know that you've prayed and accepted Christ, and we'd love to send you some free material to help you get started in the Christian life. May God bless you as you grow in Christ.
Well, thanks, Pastor. Friend, we would love to hear from you this month, and we do have a gift. If you'll take the time to call or write to us, we'd like to send you a token of our appreciation. It's a booklet written by Pastor Chappell entitled A Maze of Grace. If you're going through a difficult time right now, or if you know of somebody who's bearing up under a trial or a burden, this book will help them find God's amazing grace in the maze of their trial. Sometimes it's in life's most confusing, frustrating moments that we see God's hand of grace in miraculous ways in our lives. This little booklet will remind you of this. Again, it's entitled A Maze of Grace, and it's our gift to you when you call or write to us this month. And just let us know that you're listening. The easiest way to do that is to visit us at dailyintheword.org and click on the Contact Us tab. I do hope that you'll pray about contributing to our ministry. You can do that on the website as well when you click on Donate. And your investment into Daily in the Word goes directly into paying for airtime so that we can continue teaching and preaching the Word of God on stations like this one all across America. You can call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Again, 1-800-201-7748. And then finally, our mailing address is Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Don't forget, when we hear from you this month, we're going to send you a copy of Pastor Chappell's book, Amaze of Grace, a great gift for someone who's bearing up under a trial. It will encourage their heart and remind them of God's wonderful grace, even in the mazes of life. Amaze of Grace, this month, our gift to you. Thanks so much for being a part of this ministry, Daily in the Word. Thank you for being a part of today's broadcast. And until next time, have a great day.